Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun, sermonaudio.com. My name is Bob. This is part 15 of On the Witness Stand, Serious Questions for the Watchtower Cult. And we have a gentleman on the stand right now about to respond to the next Bible verse that we bring to bear on the subject, the deity of Jesus Christ, which is the key issue to deal with when dealing with Jehovah Witnesses. Who is Jesus? John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now I ask you, sir, on the stand, what is wrong with the passage that I've just quoted? The Jehovah Witness response is that, well, in English, it's missing one word, the word "a" or "a," which the New World Translation has properly inserted between "was" and "God," and the word was "a God." Well, you say properly, yet no other English translation seems to have seen this propriety, except one that I read of. Have you ever heard of Johannes Gruber? No, I haven't. Well, Gruber came out with a translation of the New Testament in 1937, many years before the New World Translation. In it, he placed that same A, the letter A, the word A, where you have, suggesting that Jesus was not equal to Jehovah God. Well, there you have it. It's a viable translation. Oh, not so fast, sir. Hear me out. Johannes Gruber was a spiritist. He claimed that spirits showed him what words to use in his translation. The Witnesses knew this as early as 1956. But they had owned his translation as proof of their own validity for nearly 20 years. Finally, they disowned him, for sure. But they have not as yet disowned their strange placement of words in John 1:1. Why do you think they stuck with that extra word, "ah"? Well, obviously, John 1:1, as found in most other Bibles, makes no sense. Now, the Bible must, above all, agree with the laws of reason. It's not reasonable that God could be with the Word and be the Word at the same time. And so, based on this reason and other scriptures, the New World Translation clarified this difficult passage for God's people. Yeah, and in the process, you muddied the waters even more. How many gods do you now have? There is one Almighty God, Jehovah. That Jesus is a God does not take away from the fact that basically we are, like the Jews before us, monotheists. Believe in one God. And so there's no hope of changing John 1:1. To be in concert with every scholar on the scene now and who has translated the Bible before? Your statement may be a bit extreme, but no, we must be consistent with truth. You know, I'm glad you brought up that word consistent. How many times is the word God used in John 1, 1-18 in the English? The word God. Well, I don't know. Well, the answer is 8. How many times is the Greek article "the" used in the original? Well, I haven't personally analyzed this text. Well, I have. The article in the Greek "the" is used only twice in verses 1 and 2. Yet the New World Translation translates the article plus God as just God normally, 6 times. They say a God one time, and they say the God one time. But in that instance, there is no Greek article. Why don't they just say the God all eight times? You don't know. Many other examples could be given. The astute student of these matters will want to start right here and follow up with those errors and inconsistencies. Truth be told, and please, God, let it be told. The New World Translation follows context and preconceived ideas, not grammatical rules. John 1:1 remains intact as Christians have read it for centuries. We must never tamper with the Word of God. Look at John 4:23. You may step down, and sir, if you will get in the stand now. True worshipers, it says in John 4:23, will worship the Father. But the New World Translation in Hebrews 1:6 says, let all of God's angels do obeisance to him, referring to Jesus. Sir, are you aware of the Greek word for worship? Well, there's more than one, and the one that's used in the passage above, as you see, can be translated with different variations. Oh, I see. I really do see, in fact. I see that when that Greek word, proskuneo, is referring to God the Father, worshiping God the Father, the New World Translation renders it worship. But when that same word is referring to Jesus, the Son, we see, instead of the word worship, we see do obeisance. Just what is obeisance, by the way? Well, it's the showing of respect, to honor. In the Old Testament, the kings of Israel received obeisance at times, bowing low, humbling oneself before an elder or a superior. Oh, I see. And so when the same Greek word, proskuneo, is used in reference to two different persons, the Father or Jesus, who decides which word better fits? Or why not just use the same English word whenever proskuneo appears, as all the other translations do? Well, careful study has shown us that the Son is inferior to the Father in a number of ways, and so he cannot accept worship as worship that's given to a divine being. Are you sure that that Greek word can be torn apart like that and used for deity in one sentence and non-deity in the next? Well, yes, the verb can mean anything from serious honor to a man to devout worship to a god. That's what the word means. Now then, the only thing determining your decision is your theology. That is, you've made a determination that Jesus is not the Almighty God. Therefore, you've translated this verse in Hebrews contrary to all translators of Scripture in our time and historically. Further compounding the witness error, by the way, here is Psalm 97:7. Look at this. The writer of Hebrews seems to get his quote from Psalm 97:7. Though the New World Translation puts gods instead of angels here, and perhaps rightly so, the word worship is certainly in their text. But if the Hebrews writer meant to use that verse in reference to the Son, as he most certainly did, the witnesses have inadvertently applied worship to that Son in the Psalms. Finding the Son referenced in the Psalms as God is not a difficult task, by the way. Well, let's go to John 5:18. You may step down. Next, sir, would you please take the stand? The Jews were seeking to kill him because he was calling God his Father, making himself equal with God. That's what it says in John 5:18. Sir, I ask you, is God, Jehovah, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, of course he is, but not in the way you've expressed it. Well, the way we have expressed it is that the Son is of the same substance with the Father. The way you have expressed it is that Jehovah created an angel and said, that angel's my son. Do you have a son, sir? Yes, I have three sons. Oh, did you make any of them? I mean, did you create any of them? Or did they come into this world as a result of your seed being passed on to them? Well, it's not proper to compare earthly things with heavenly things. Oh, but Jesus did it all the time. We call these comparisons parables. Now, the point I'm making here is that the Jews in our text seem to have agreed with my own thinking about the Son of God. Namely, if you call God your Father, you're making a claim of equality in privilege, in substance, in authority. Now, I don't see all of that in the text. Yeah, but we do see some very angry Jews, angry because their eyes were just as closed as those witnesses' eyes. Now, that's a problem. Witnesses who cannot see. The Jews got it but didn't like it. They understood and assumed blasphemy. That's a more honest approach, I think, than taking the Word of God itself, changing it, and broadcasting your unbelief in this manner. The Jews at least got it. The witnesses do not get it yet. But they will. How about John 5:23? As you step down and we need our next witness to come up, let me ask you, sir. It says in John 5:23 in part, so that all may honor the Son as they honor the Father. I ask you, does not this verse seem to indicate that equal honor is due to the Father and the Son? Well, we can't allow one verse to negate the other things we learn about the Father-Son relationship in Scripture. Yeah, but the verse is quite clear, in my opinion, and it is true that we cannot set one verse in opposition to others. That's the point. It's the biblical view that Jesus and the Father are indeed one and equal, two persons of the same species known as God in the Bible. We call this the Godhead, and of course, we include the Holy Spirit in that equation. Whatever honor, for example, worship, obeisance, obedience, servitude, love, devotion, commitment, all honors that we would give to God the Father, we must also give to God the Son. No jealousy is created in heaven over such an effusion of praise and magnifying on our part. The message is received by the oneness that is God and accepted heartily. John 14:16 gives us in the Scripture the final discourse of Jesus. They say that politicians make promises that only God could keep. It's cute to say that about the would-be statesmen among us, but to say it of Jesus Christ is the absolute truth. He made promises that only God could keep. Only God could fulfill the self-statements that were made by Jesus of Nazareth. I want you to listen carefully to these three chapters. Sir, if you will take the stand as the other man is leaving, take the stand and Listen carefully. Here are absolute revelations of his deity to the apostles, along with the personality of the Holy Spirit thrown in too. I'm going to take them as a group. Listen carefully to these words, because you will give an account for them one day. John 14:7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. John 14:9, he who has seen me has seen the Father. John 14:11, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. John 14:13, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. John 14:17-18, the Spirit of truth abides with you and shall be in you. I will come to you. John 14:23, my Father will love the one who keeps my word, and we will come to him, and we will make our abode with him. John 16:14, he, the Spirit of truth, will glorify me. John 16:23, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. I notice that in all the above quotes, there's only one feeble attempt to deny the things that are being said, namely in 16, 13, and 14, where there the New World Translation tries to neuter the Spirit in at least one word when it says, when that one comes, the Spirit of the truth. But in the rest of the verse, he is used, for it cannot be denied here or elsewhere that the Holy Spirit is a person. Why do witnesses insist on teachings that are unfounded in the Scriptures? That's my question to you, sir. Well, all of these verses can be looked at in different ways once the eyes are open to the truth. There is one Almighty God and one created mighty Son. On this the Bible is clear, and all else must be built around it. So in witness theology, Christians are the blind ones. Christians are the ones who interpret scriptures in the light of ancient tradition rather than the new light given to their founders, the founders of the witnesses, and their governors. The clarity of the above passages does nothing for them. Just as a person who is sworn to defend a particular presidential candidate will not change regardless of the facts that are brought out. You've seen it. How wonderful is that last discourse of Jesus to the subject at hand. The above verses are not the entire story, but read all three chapters and see what breathless revelations Jesus is leaving with his men as he departs from this world. He's saying that to know and to see Jesus Christ is to know and to see Father God, Jehovah. He's saying Jesus actually has his life inside of the Father, and the Father has his life inside of the Son. He's saying that whatever we ask Jesus or his Father, the response is the same. You can have it, and I'll do it for you. He's saying that the Spirit will come from the Father, but will actually be Jesus also. He's saying that the Father and the Son are actually present in the Spirit when he comes to live in the human heart. He's saying that the Spirit glorifies Jesus Christ with not a word of protest from the great Father Almighty. And with this one series of statements, if need be, we could rest our case against these so-called Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm way out of time today. Would you please check in from time to time and check out my whole website. Enjoy yourself. There's much here that will bless and edify you. I pray that you will look and see. Come in and see what's going on from time to time at the Hackberry House of Chosun website, sermonaudio.com. We will talk soon, Lord willing.